Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
12:03, Monday afternoon, October 27th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. Staffing shortages at airports cause massive delays nationwide as the government shutdown continues to drag on. We'll cover that in our next segment. But first, stocks kick off the week with a surge to record highs as the U.S.-China trade tensions cool ahead of a potential deal, while investors also eye the Fed, home prices, and consumer confidence data. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Paul Christopher, head of global investment strategy at the Wells Fargo Investment Institute in St. Louis. Paul, thank you for joining us today. And let's talk about this latest development in the trade negotiations between the U.S. and China. Officials cooling tensions over the weekend, laying the groundwork for President Trump and China's Xi Jinping to clinch a trade deal this week. How close are they to having a deal that could allow both parties to sign on the dotted line?
Yeah, hi, Rob. Boy, that's really tough to say unless you were a fly on the wall in that negotiating room. The Secretary of the Treasury says we had a breakthrough over the weekend. I do suspect that your report was correct, that it's about rare earth metals. We really need those. China has the monopoly on those. But there's a couple of other issues, too. Soybeans. U.S. farmers need to sell their soybeans. China's saying they won't buy any. That could be part of a deal where the Chinese buy the soybeans, we get the rare earth metals, and then from our side, we would probably be looking to see some software restrictions, export restrictions being lifted on Chinese firms. That's the sort of combination we're looking for to come out of this. Of course, there's room to be disappointed, but the Secretary of the Treasury pointing in the opposite direction here, so stocks are up for right now.
If an agreement is reached, what happens after that so that both parties ratify this agreement and it's in effect?
Yeah, what we would hope to see next would be the reduction of tariffs. Remember, tariffs got up to over 150% on China, high on the U.S. as well. I mean, those were basically levels of tariffs that would be trade embargoes. And we don't think that's good for the U.S. economy, that sort of a trade embargo. We don't think it's good for the Chinese economy. These are two major powers. They're using their leverage publicly, trying to get a trade deal. I think you'll see those tariffs come down. The question is, to what levels?
The Fed is in play this week. The Fed has their policy meeting on Wednesday. They are expected to cut interest rates again. And this comes off of a consumer price index report. And we all know the Fed does not go off of the CPI, but it is a number that shows inflation increasing by 3% on a year-over-year basis. Is this the last possible interest rate cut, or are there more to come?
We do think there are more to come, Rob. The Fed is watching inflation, and the three handle on that CPI last week was a little bit disturbing. But then again, the Fed and we have been expecting some tariff impact to flow through by the end of this year. We're seeing more and more price increases on consumer goods, so that's not terribly surprising. On the other hand, the other part of the data blackout means we don't get really much evidence on what's going on in the jobs market. And so with firms not really hiring but not firing either, we're just thinking that the Fed is probably going to weight that above the 3% CPI number and cut by a quarter point this week and probably again in December.
Paul Christopher, head of global investment strategy at the Wells Fargo Investment Institute in St. Louis. Thank you for joining us today.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Flight delays across the U.S. are expected to worsen as air traffic controller shortages deepen amid the ongoing government shutdown. Joining us to explain is Joe Sweeterman, professor of public services and director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University in Chicago. Joe, thank you for joining us today. And this has been a weekend of disruption across the entire air travel system. More than 50 staffing shortages have been reported since Friday morning, causing delays from Los Angeles, where LAX flights were temporarily halted on Sunday because of a staffing shortage at the air traffic control facility, which handles arriving and departing flights. Reagan National Airport in D.C., staffing issues causing a ground delay yesterday morning that was supposed to last the entire day. Since October 1st, there have been at least 264 instances, Joe, of staffing problems reported at FAA facilities. And it just seems like it will continue to get worse as this government shutdown drags on.
You know, this weekend was sort of an inflection point, you might say. I mean, just looking at these numbers, and they're just not pretty all around the country, it's just somewhat hard to fathom Newark Airport, over 40% of flights delayed yesterday. And here in Chicago, you know, here one-third of the flights left late. Hardly any were canceled. And I think the telltale sign that this is an ATC issue is it's so consistent across airlines. And that's suggest that this is not unique weather patterns and so forth.
And then when you have a shortage of controllers, either at the tower at the airport or at the facility that handles traffic on a regional basis, you have this ground delay program. And Joe, you're an old airline operations guy. When you are in a ground delay program, it's the airport equivalent of turning off or limiting the spigot. You limit the number of flights that can arrive and depart so the smaller crew can handle them.
Exactly right. And you look at the small things that are done, increased spacing between departures, you limit landings, sometimes even close runways. When you just can't do it, you know, with the manpower being stretched too thin. And kind of what we're seeing is this cumulative effect. It's not a massive sick out or anything like that. It's just a slow creep where when you fall below the threshold of a certain number, they automatically kick in these revised methods. It doesn't relate to sort of the ground movements as much as it does takeoff and landings. And that's, hair is being pushed to the max already right now. So you turn things off, just reduce 5 or 10%, and you have these trickle effects.
And the reality is if you are an air traffic controller and your paycheck, you haven't received a paycheck since October 1st or since the last pre-shutdown pay cycle, even though you may get back pay when the shutdown ends, you still have to make ends meet. And there is a good possibility that for a lot of the controllers who are just not showing up for whatever reason is that they've probably found a side hustle just to keep the lights on until their government paycheck starts flowing once again.
Yeah, that's right. This has had a cumulative effect, psychological effect of not getting paid. And then when other people call in sick, your work burden rises. And so people generally need time off to recover. A lot of them are doing 6-day shifts because of the shortages. And it just sends a signal that, you know, they have to watch out for their own mental health. And we aren't seeing any sort of large scale not come to work protests. It's just more the slow effects of being understaffed. And you're right. I mean, now they've missed a full paycheck or two, and it's it's tough out there.
Air travel disruption was one of the contributing factors that brought both sides back to the table to end the last government shutdown, in the last long one in 2018 that ended in early 2019. Could we see a similar effect this time around?
Oh, I think we are. I think there's pressure in Congress. And as time goes on, I mean, all demographics are flying, of course, at different levels, but air travel is no longer confined to, the affluent, fully employed. It's a U.S. Necessity, you might say. So I think everybody's feeling pressure. And the good thing about the pressure is it's kind of bipartisan. There's no angle for Democrats or Republicans about their traffic system. They just hear it from their constituents. And corporations, of course, feel the heat. They're afraid to put people on the road when there's delays that are prominent. And eventually, there'll be a safety discussion connected with this. We don't have that yet. There's no indication safety's compromised. But, boy, you can't push the system too far.
Joe Sweeterman, professor of public services and director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, Lululemon dominates athleisure with top quality gear and major sports deals. We'll talk about that next.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Lululemon is taking the athleisure world by storm, delivering high quality products, superior materials, and a savvy expansion into men's apparel. The brand's push into sports continues to gain momentum with partnerships already secured with the NHL and now the NFL. Joining us to discuss is Jan Rogers Niffen, CEO of J. Rogers Niffen Worldwide, based in New York. Jan, thank you for joining us today. And is it safe to say that Lululemon really was the inventor of the stylish athleisure trend?
Well, I absolutely believe that to be true. They were the first people where you saw women in Starbucks wearing workout gear, getting their morning coffee. That was the beginning, in my opinion, of athleisure.
Now, the there's an adage in marketing, and that is it's the NFL rule, and the NFL rule is the NFL rules. And really, it's the most dominant sports league in America by far. And if you hitch your wagon as a partner of the NFL, what does that do for you?
Well, you know, Lulu's already jumped in with the NHL, and they jumped in with the collegiate. And so now they're with the big boys, the NFL. So it's clearly, you know, and this is in partnership with Fanatics, which is really the dominant player in NFL apparel. So this will be good for them. I don't think it's a game changer. It's certainly not a game changer for the NFL, but it's a good idea. You know, Calvin McDonald, the CEO at Lulu, said, our product offerings have become stale and have not been resonating with the guests. And now we've relied too long on the same product playbook across certain categories. Way too long. So he's looking at ways to make them more relevant, more exciting, and feel new again. This will certainly help that because, you know, the NFL is the great spectator sport as far as people buying fan gear. So it's a good idea. It's kind of like Lulu and Nike have both struggled because they were the number one premier technical sport product across the board, right? And they were early in the game, Nike for men, Lulu for women. Now they both do both, of course. But that was the game, and they both struggled because Lulu's been up against Alu and Vuori. Nike's been hit by Hoka and On Running. And so they're both gotten a little stale. They need to revamp. Nike's further along. They're coming back faster, but Lulu should be coming back just as well. And they're just starting to do the things to get them to be more relevant. You're going to see it in product across the board, but certainly it's not going to be hurtful to be playing with the NFL and making Lulu product available with, say, Pittsburgh Steelers across the front of it.
Jan Rogers Niffen, CEO of J. Rogers Niffen Worldwide, based in New York. Thank you for joining us today. Still ahead, for couples, shared goals and money talks build financial trust. And then a pair of picks from our Monday afternoon stock picker.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart. Markets are higher today. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital, author of the book Calculated Risk, based in Chicago. Michael, thank you for joining us today. And the thought that occurred to me over the weekend when I saw the headline that the U.S. and China were close to a trade deal, my first thought was, I wonder how much the markets are going to pop come Monday morning. And the answer is now 0.5%, at least for the Dow, 1.5% plus for the NASDAQ. So the markets are responding favorably to what is absolutely good news.
Yeah, I mean, it's good news. Good afternoon, by the way, Rob, but thanks for having me on. But good news, but, you know, I'll believe it when I see it or when I hear it, because, you know, they've been going back and forth with brinksmanship for a while. They're supposed to meet Thursday at the APEC summit in South Korea, Trump and Xi. We will see what comes of that. I just think, though, that at least for investors, I don't think anything really negative is going to come from it. I don't know if it'll be a complete trade deal, but I think that, you know, they've at least made some steps towards it. And I don't think you're going to see the negative stuff, which is higher tariffs, things like that. For other countries or for China. So at worst, I think it'll be, you know, still talking. And at best, they'll have a full-fledged deal agreed to. I don't think it'll get that good, but let's just see what happens. And obviously, markets are very happy to hear that, relieved more than anything else. But there's a lot of other things driving these markets higher. That's just one part of it. But it is good to hear that there's a chance that they'll finally be able to come up with an agreement.
And how much of the rally today is also driven by the idea that the Fed will cut interest rates again at their policy meeting this week, or has a Fed cut already been priced in?
Well, it was mostly priced in. And then just we've had very benign inflation readings. We've had slow job growth, all of the things that give the Fed a reason to cut. And so I'm going to go out on a limb here and say Wednesday they're going to cut 0.25% for sure, 100% chance. It's going to happen. I think the market knows that too, though. So I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of reaction. Maybe they'll care about the commentary from Chairman Powell, but really it is now fully baked in. But what has been the biggest catalyst, I think, in this rally that just doesn't stop is earnings. Earnings have been great across the board. You've seen beats in pretty much every sector. Now we will get Apple, Microsoft, Google, Meta, and Amazon all this week, Wednesday and Thursday. So that's a quarter of the entire S&P 500 market cap all in 2 days. And, you know, we'll have to see. But I'm pretty confident that those reports are going to come in just like most of these others, and they're going to beat and guide higher. And this rally, I think, is going to continue unless there's a surprise in these earnings or this China U.S. talk completely falls apart. But I don't think any of those things are going to happen. You look at things that can drive the market, inflation is benign, earnings have been great, and geopolitical Trump has pretty much either stopped or seriously curtailed every foreign conflict that's going on right now. So I don't know what is going to knock this market off. I just don't see it short term at all. So I think we've got more rally ahead.
Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital and author of the book Calculated Risk, based in Chicago. Thank you for joining us.
Lunch money for all generations. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Fighting over finances can strain any relationship. Experts say couples should schedule regular money talks, set shared goals, and work together to build financial harmony. Joining us with some key advice is Ed Jurtzen, certified financial planner and founder of the Engage Wealth Group in Chicago, also the past president, national president of the Financial Planning Association. Ed, thank you for joining us today. And I'm in my mid-40s, Ed, and the one thing I have discovered from talking to friends and acquaintances is that this is definitely around the time when regrets start to seep into your brain, and a lot of sentences begin, "If only I did blank." And maybe this segment, Ed, is one way to prevent that line of questioning about your relationship goals and also your finances, that if you have those money conversations now, you won't say, "If only I did blank 10 years from now or 20 years from now."
Rob, this is such an important topic, especially as we're starting to head to the holidays, and those in Cook County know that your tax bills haven't arrived yet. So money issues are definitely going to be front and center over the next couple of months. So for couples to be able to sit down, not in a sense of disagreement or argument, but just sit down and kind of walk through those goals in terms of what you prioritize and how you're going to handle money going forward as a collective unit is so critically important. And again, having those conversations now, not after the fact when tensions are really high, is really important to kind of help navigate and keep the peace, if you would, within the family.
How can you have those conversations, and what should the tone of the conversation be at different points in your relationship? Let's say you're a couple of months into your relationship versus we're about to get engaged versus we've been married versus we want to have children.
So this is great waystones, right? Waypoints, milestones in the relationship. A new couple has to understand, okay, we've got, let's say it's a dual income household, right? So how are we going to save our money? How are we going to spend our money? What are we putting away collectively together? Because again, you want to look at this as a team, not as a you and me. This is an us going forward. And that is where we see the most benefit coming from relationships and couples over the decades we've been doing this, is to have a common front. Because as life happens, and should you be so fortunate to have children, it complicates things. And as you move forward, your financial lives don't get easier, they get more complicated. So again, having that sit down, having a goal, engaging with a certified financial planner early in your relationship, mid or late career, to help guide you through those goals is another very effective way of keeping peace in the family. And again, sticking to those intermediate and long-term goals.
What are the most common disagreements in your experience, Ed, and how can that couple's conversation diffuse them, or at the very least, put them in greater context?
I think the number one issue or number one conflict we see is when one spouse is a spender and the other is a saver. And so we've developed strategies over the years on how to try to help mitigate and smooth that over. So for instance, create what we call your MAD accounts. Create, side funds that each of you know you're putting monies into, which are no judge spending zones, right? So whether if you go on Amazon and spend money on something that the other might consider frivolous is irrelevant, because that's what you set up. So developing strategies where the two of you can help navigate sort of, let's call it, the unalignment or lack of alignment on certain things is okay. But again, we want to make sure we're doing this in a presented front, so we avoid these issues and especially the arguments that may develop later on.
And also, it's very important in that type of a conversation to document your wins as well. It should not just be a laundry list of things that you wish you could do or things you wish you could be doing better. I mean, we always have to have that conversation, but you also have to take stock of what you're doing well, too.
And that's the commonality of goals, Rob, which again, you know what, you're going to have these issues with money that comes up from time to time. But to your point, the goodness is there generally way more than not. So having a common goal of, let's call it a vacation or get out of town fund that you can collectively sort of put monies in, it's not, hey, let's wait 40 years to celebrate our retirement. Do these things along the way, to your point, right? Have some good wins, have some goals that you both can meet, and then go enjoy those goals. And so again, trying to find these areas of common goodness, if you would, when it comes to money is really important. And again, celebrating along the way, have at it. That's a great way of, again, keeping that peace, not only in the long run, but well into the years ahead.
Ed Jurtzen, certified financial planner, founder of the Engage Wealth Group in Chicago.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday. Joining us with a pair of investment ideas is Chris Everett, fiduciary planner and president of Everett Wealth Solutions in Forest Park, author of the book, The Prescription for a Healthy Retirement. Chris, thank you for joining us today. And there's a through line. There are several through lines through your two stock selections today, Chris. And it seems like they're real estate and fun. So let's start with your first selection of the week.
Yeah, absolutely. So EPR Properties, it's a REIT specializing in select, enduring, experiential properties. So what does that mean? Well, since 1997, they've been focusing on real estate venues that create value by facilitating, air quotes, out-of-home leisure and recreation experiences where consumers can choose to spend their discretionary time and money. You know, this is a $5.6 billion company. They work across 43 states with various properties. This past year, they're up over 15%. And what I like about them is, you know, they're trading just under $53.50 right now, but you can get a really sweet dividend out of this play at just over 6.5%. So I'm thinking that one's worth taking a look at. What do you think?
And a REIT is a real estate investment trust. And generally, how does that work for an investor if you're in a REIT?
Well, generally, I like to see these in retirement plans. But, you know, it's like anything else. You know, they're not as liquid generally, although this is a stock, so it's as liquid as you want it to be.
So we go from EPR Properties to Host Hotels and Resorts. Once again, real estate and fun.
It is. So HST is the stock symbol. They've been on the S&P 500 since they started in 27. I don't really know when they went and entered the S&P 500. But it's a long-standing company, great play. I mean, they have approximately 42,900 rooms, not only across the United States, but they also do some joint ventures with other premium brands that work around the world, whether it's Marriott, the Ritz, the Westin, you know, Hyatt, all kinds of places, Four Seasons. And what's nice about this play is that it's trading, HST is trading just at around 16.68, and it has also a nice, not too shabby dividend of 4.85. Not too bad. So if you're looking for solid companies who've been around for a long time, proven track record, you know, a little bit of growth on EPR, not as much on HST, I'd say they're worth taking a look at to see if they fit in your portfolio.
Chris Everett, fiduciary financial planner and president, Everett Wealth Solutions in Forest Park, author of the book Prescription for a Healthy Retirement. Thank you for joining us today on Stock Picker Monday. Her selections, EPR Properties, the ticker symbol EPR, and Host Hotels and Resorts, HST.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life.
Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.